Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. We are back live for the first time in ever such a long time, and my topic for today is have an average day, which I'll explain all about in a moment. But if you want to get in and talk about whatever you want in your life and how you can have it, the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. Let me talk a little bit more about this whole have an average day thing. Because the first time I heard the phrase, I was talking to my friend who I actually had on the radio show a few weeks back, Steve Chandler. And he said to me at the end of our call, he said, have an average day. And I was kind of a little bit taken aback. And I said, what do you mean? You know, surely you mean have a great day or have a fantastic day, have an exceptional day. But he said, no, have an average day. And he told me the story of one of his mentors, a man named Lyndon Duke, who studied something called the linguistics of suicide. And what happened was after he'd received a doctorate from a couple of different universities, he began analyzing suicide notes to look for linguistic clues which could be used to predict and prevent suicidal behavior in teenagers. And he wound up studying over 3,000 suicide notes, and apparently it was a little bit of a depressing topic. But one of the things that he learned that really startled him was that the enemy of happiness, and it turned out in further study and in reviewing the work of Dr. Abraham Lowe, who I'll talk a bit more about later in the program, and who also had this distinction between average and exceptional, the enemy of happiness was actually what Dr. Duke called the curse of exceptionality. In a world where everyone is trying to be exceptional, two things happen. The first is nearly everyone fails, because by definition, if too many people become exceptional, the exceptional becomes commonplace. The second is that the few people who do succeed at being exceptional wind up feeling even more isolated and estranged from their peer group than they did before. So what you wind up with is you've got a few people who feel envied and misunderstood and alone, and then you have tens of thousands of other people who feel like failures for not being enough, you know, not being good enough, not being special enough, not being rich enough, not being happy enough, not being successful enough. And, you know, one of the reasons that this work was particularly meaningful to me is because those of you who know a little bit about me know that I went through my own thick cloud of suicidal thoughts back when I was at university and for years around that time. And I actually remember wishing that I could run away from my presidential scholarship. I was one of only 20 students to have this amazing scholarship and hide. And I didn't want to just hide. I wanted to change my name to Bob. No offense to anyone named Bob, but it was just the most ordinary name I could think of at the time. And just, I wanted to like take a job pumping gas at a full service station somewhere in the Midwest. But in my fantasy, sooner or later, people would start to notice that there was something special about Bob. They'd begin driving miles out of their way to have their car filled up by Bob the service guy and exchange a few words with him. They'd leave the station feeling oddly uplifted with a renewed sense of optimism and purpose. And by the way, if you'd like to leave this show with a sense of optimism and purpose, please do give me a call. The number is 1-866-254-1579. It's toll-free, and you can listen to the show while you hang out online. 1-866-254-1579. From outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. But before long, in my little fantasy at the service station when I'd run away, somebody would discover how exceptional I was, and I'd have to run away from their expectations all over again. And basically, the way I thought about my life at the time was I was doomed to succeed. Now, sometimes when I tell that story, people go, wow, you have delusions of grandeur. And I quite possibly do, but I was also depressed, hopeless, and miserable. So one of Lyndon Duke's breakthroughs came when he was dealing with his own misery. And he heard the sound of a neighbor singing while mowing his lawn. And he realized then that what was missing from his life were just the simple pleasures of an average life. And, you know, this distinction of average versus exceptional, the assumption, especially if you listen to Hay House Radio and the kind of stuff we normally do, the assumption might be, well, exceptional is what we're striving for. Well, the problem with exceptional is even when you can get there, it's not sustainable. And so when Lyndon Duke found this distinction, he went, oh, my God, I've been training my children, to be exceptional. And in fact, that's the enemy of happiness, the enemy of productivity. You know, they need to learn to just approach things in a much more average way. So the next weekend, he went to visit his son at university, and he sat him down, and he told him about his revised expectations for him. And he said, I expect you to be a straight C student, young man, and I want you to complete your unremarkable academic career and meet an ordinary young woman, and if you choose to, get married and live a completely average life. Now, I don't know if you've ever been given that advice, but his son thought Dad had flipped. But he did take the pressure off himself to be quite so exceptional. And a month later, he phoned his dad to apologize because he'd gotten A's on all of his exams. But it was okay because he'd only done an average amount of studying. And that's the paradoxical, the paradox of the average day approach, of the average approach to life, is that the cumulative effect of a series of average days spent doing an average amount of what one loves and wants to do can actually be quite extraordinary. So we're going to talk more about that throughout the show, but I'd like to talk to you. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment. The number's to call 1-866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And let us begin with Wyatt in Nebraska. Wyatt, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Yes, I would like to know how, when meditating, how can you become more spiritual inside?
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions about that, because those are words that they sound like we're going to both be meaning the same things if we use the word spiritual and meditating.
Yes.
But we probably would be using completely different words. So what does spiritual mean to you?
Spiritual means a connection with all things.
Okay. And what kind of meditation do you currently practice?
I just sit in my chair and do the – I have a lot of Sylvia Brown CDs and self-taught that way. At one time, I believe that I may have been abducted. One time, I believe that –
By Sylvia Brown?
No, by
– No, okay. Okay. I was just checking. I mean, you know, she's a lovely lady, but I don't know. Maybe she has a hobby. Yeah.
But at one time, it was my meditations were getting so serious and so – deep that it scared me and it went away, and now I'm reorganizing and redoing this again to see how I can get it back.
Okay. So a couple of things from that, Wyatt. One is, it's not at all unusual that when somebody kind of goes a little further out there than they're used to going, that a part of them will kick in to protect you. Because it's like going, you know what? We don't know how to handle that if that happens, so we're just going to make sure it doesn't happen by keeping you so far from the edge that it can't happen. One of the things, I do a lot of work with the phobias in NLP, where we cure people's phobias, and one of the things that you have to do when you take away someone's phobia, especially if they've had it their whole life, whether it's of snakes or spiders or heights or whatever it is you have to teach them how to make some very basic distinctions about safety when they're dealing with spiders, because most spiders are safe, a few aren't. Most snakes are safe, a few aren't. You know, being near the edge of something is fine, but not if you tap dance and roller skate. And so one thing to do is to create it for yourself. Go find, read some more stuff about that spiritual state, about that transcendent state, about that state of connection to all things. There's a book by edited by John White called What is Enlightenment, which is a collection of experiences of people experiencing that transcendent state. And what's great about it is you get a sense of, oh, okay, these things that I'm experiencing. I once had a client come to me who was convinced that she had once almost been possessed by the devil. And the reason was, I asked her to describe the experience to me, and she said, well, I was on a bus, and suddenly it was like my skin was dissolving and all the boundaries between me and the other people on the bus were dissolving, and I felt like I was just becoming one with everyone on the bus, and it was terrible. And of course, I was listening to her going, huh, that sounds an awful lot like the descriptions of Satori, of getting into this sort of incredible state beyond all states. So the more you sort of know about it, that's going to comfort that part of you and give it some comfort and let it know that it's okay. Another thing is to just tell it. Actually work with that part of you that gets a little bit scared and say, look, if this all gets too weird, by all means, please pull me back. But what I'd like is to work with you on this, and let's see how far we can go with this before you feel the need to pull me back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing that I'm going to suggest to you is meditation is, in many ways, as a word, it literally means concentration. When you meditate on something, it means you're focusing exclusively on that one thing. So if the goal of your meditation is to access that spiritual state, that state of connection with all things, then I'm going to suggest that for you, what's going to make a real difference is to make your meditations about that, to meditate on that, to contemplate that. And there are so many wonderful books out there. I'm going to suggest a couple that I particularly think are amazing at helping you access that state. But I encourage you to follow your own joy and look for some of the many different guides that are out there on meditation, as well as the ones I suggest to you, and follow the ones that your heart resonates with. So the two I want to tell you about, one is called Radiant Mind, and it's by a man named Dr. Peter Fenner, and it's from Sounds True Publishing. And another, both of these books have just come out in the last month or two, and another is called Big Mind, Big Heart by Genpo Roshi. And that one, I know they're both available through Amazon. And I think both of those approaches are two of the most powerful approaches I personally have experience of going directly for that spiritual state. Is that useful?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for phoning the show, Wyatt. And
Thank you.
Please, by all means, let us know how it goes. Okay, let's go to Teresa in, I like this, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Teresa, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Well, my biggest question is, how do you know what's right for you if you don't know what's right for you? I know that sounds so silly, but it's the way my life is feeling right now. And
Well, let me ask you a couple of, before you give me any information, let me ask you a couple of basic questions. Is punching yourself in the face right for you?
No.
Okay, great. So you do have at least some basic sense. Let me ask you a couple other questions that are going to sound dumb and aren't really, well, hopefully as dumb as they sound. Is for you, as you know, right now, where you are in your life, is taking more time for yourself right for you?
It would be right, yes.
Okay, great. That's all I need to know. We'll get to why you can't do it and all that stuff. Okay. Is right now where you are in your life to, you know, just an average approach to this. You're just checking in, you know, it doesn't matter. You don't have to get it right every time. You don't have to have a deep psychic experience. Mm-hmm. But is exercising more than you're currently exercising right for you?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Here's another question. Is drinking more water than you're drinking right now right for you?
Yes.
Okay. Is, let's see, is working more hours than you're currently working right for you?
No.
Okay, boom. So what I want to point out, Teresa, is there wasn't a lot of difficulty for you in finding those answers.
Correct.
So the real question isn't, how do I find out what, you know, what's right for me?
Got it.
It's, how do I allow myself to do more of it? To follow that guidance, not to get it. You've got it. It's right there. It was right there. There was no magic coaching there. You just,
right.
You knew. So what's something that you know is right for you that you don't feel you can act on in your life?
Relationships.
Okay. So a relationship that's right for you, or doing something about relationship you're already in?
Doing something about relationship that I'm already in.
Okay, so if anything was possible, and if following your own inner guidance was always going to be the best path forward, even if you didn't understand how at first, so forgetting about, in other words, how you're going to do it, what do you know to do about this relationship that you have in mind?
End it.
Okay, fantastic. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're coming up on a break. Can you hang out over the break?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I want you to do over the break is I want you to go inside, and if you've got a, you might want to also just jot some notes down for yourself on a piece of paper, and just really think about, okay, if I could do that, here's how I would do it, and then make a list of all the reasons that you can't.
I can or can't.
That you can't. Because obviously you, in your head, think there's a whole lot of reasons you can't do that.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I want you to bring those both back with you after the break, and we'll talk more about that.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to be back with Teresa after the break. We're also going to be back with Marvella and Anthony. And if you want us to be back with you, the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. Outside the United States, you can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. We'll talk more to you, and we'll talk more to Teresa, and we'll talk more about having an average day.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about the possibilities of having an average day, and we're talking with Teresa in Oklahoma. So, Teresa, welcome back. So just over the break, I asked you to kind of just think about, okay, if you could do this, how you would do it, and then also what stops you?
And the how escapes me.
Okay.
I don't know how at this point, but
okay.
And
so
I know what gripped me is just the fear of change, the fear of loss, an overwhelming sadness of doing what I need to do.
Okay, so the fear of change, the fear of loss. Now, generally speaking, when someone is afraid of something,
mm-hmm.
It's with the best of all possible intentions. It's a way of protecting yourself or motivating yourself to act or not act. So if you were protecting yourself or motivating yourself, what would you be protecting yourself from or motivating yourself towards by being scared?
Probably pain.
Okay.
The pain of, wanting to be perfect, wanting to have that exceptional day, wanting to create instead of just being average.
Right, because exceptional people don't have relationship issues. Exceptional people don't have conflicts. Exceptional people never have to divorce or break up a relationship.
Right.
Fortunately, we don't live on that planet. We live on the planet where people do the best they can, and sometimes things work out and sometimes they don't. And there are always things you can do to move in the direction you want to move. And sometimes there comes a time where, you know what, the best thing to do is to go. And here's a phrase that comes from the work of, I mentioned this guy, Dr. Abraham Lowe. You can find out more about him online, LOW. But that also was used by Lyndon Duke in his work. And it's a really powerful phrase. There's no danger, just discomfort. If you look at what you're talking about with leaving, now, unless there is some physical violence that's liable to happen, and I'm not getting that from what you're telling me, there's no actual danger, there's just discomfort. And here's the thing. You don't have to limit the discomfort. It's okay to be uncomfortable. You can handle discomfort. I'm not saying it's a great way to go through life all the time, but it's just discomfort. And average people get discomforted. So if you knew that it was okay to be uncomfortable and that there was no danger, just discomfort.
But what if there might be danger?
Well, that's a very real, very, very important question. Is there potential physical danger in your leaving the situation that you're in? Okay, so then that becomes a completely different conversation. At that point, then what you want to look at is, and again, I don't know the context, and I'm assuming because you haven't brought it up that you don't want to go into it, which is fine. But, you know, there are shelters and there are programs that are available to help people in violent relationships get out of them without creating more violence.
Mm-hmm.
And my strong suggestion is would be that you find one of those programs to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you'd be willing to at least look into?
Yes.
Okay, so what's
I don't know that that would apply in this case, and I don't mean to talk in circles, but the main thing is that, it's doing it whether you're ready or not. It's that creating that plan and that desire and knowing that I need to put this into action, but just not being able to take that step.
Right. And I think for most people that I talk with in any kind of situation like this, it's because the fear is if I take that first step,
mm-hmm.
there's no going back.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've got a little while before that. Okay. That first step is actually, in your case, just a first step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to check it out later? You still can.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's not yet to reach out and to explore the options. Is not actually an irreconcilable thing. I'm now again because there's obviously a limited amount that we can do with the
sure.
limited amount of information
absolutely.
You're giving. So,
but
here's a couple of things that I'd love you to just take away and ponder from this.
Perfect.
Okay. One is to just keep asking yourself, what would I do if I wasn't afraid? Doesn't mean you have to do it, but it's really good to know the answer to that question.
Okay.
Second thing is to spend a day, a 24-hour period, having made the decision that you're going to stay, but you're going to make it as good as you can make it. And just notice what comes up for you. Notice what possibilities arise. If you'd absolutely irreconcilably decided to stay and make things as good as you can make them.
Oh, that's good.
And then spend a day, a 24-hour period, as if you had irreconcilably decided to leave and you wanted to do it in the best way possible for everyone concerned. And let that inform you. Let those two experiments really inform you. Because, again, the problem isn't that you don't know what to do.
Right.
The problem is that right now, the way you've got it in your head is it's such a big deal. It's such an exceptional thing to do. That it's too much. And that's the thing about the exceptional approach to anything is it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that way. You're allowed to mess this up. You're allowed for this not to go beautifully. You're allowed to, hate the people that you leave until you get back in touch with love. You're allowed to be hated by them until they get back in touch with love.
Right.
You can just do what any average person would do in the situation, which is the best that you can. And these are some experiments that will help you. Are you willing to try those on?
Yes.
Thank you so much for phoning, Teresa. Please, please, please do either phone us back or you can go at geniuscatalyst.com onto the radio forums and let us know how you get on.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Teresa. And that's something that is just so true for any time you're in a situation where it feels like I have to do this or I have to do that and there's only two choices in there. It's almost never really that black and white, that hard, that dramatic. Even if you wind up making what on the outside look like dramatic changes, you don't have to make them in a dramatic way. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Marvella in Georgia. Marvella, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Oh, hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question about trying to have an average conversation with a type of person that is constantly pretending.
Okay. So
an example would be, there was a gentleman I dated several years ago, and he was an actor, but he didn't tell me.
Okay, by the way, Marvella, could you speak up just a bit?
Oh, sure. Can you
All right.
speak better now?
Yes, that's fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. I dated a man several years ago, and he was an actor, and he didn't tell me. He told me he was, like, a completely different person.
I'm a spy.
Yeah. And then, later on, I ran into him again, and it was kind of an awkward conversation again, like he was, acting. It was like it was almost scripted again. And, later I found out he was, in fact, an actor, and he wasn't who he said he was. And sometimes I run into people like that, and I guess I don't understand how to deal with people who are pretending in situations where there doesn't seem to be a reason or a need for the pretending.
It's funny because, of course, I come from an acting background. I still spend a lot of time with actors, and it is funny how many of us are congenital liars. But what I can tell you both from experience, but also from the perspective that we're talking from today, from this sort of average person, you know, average day kind of approach is, you know, sometimes you're going to get conned.
Yeah.
That's just okay. You know, it's not something you're going to go out of your way to happen. You're going to do what you know to do to prevent it from happening. Sometimes people are going to, you know, catch you out. That's okay.
Well, I kind of sensed it when I was with him and everything. But I guess the thing I'm having a hard time understanding are how to deal with these people if they keep on popping up in your life and they keep on pretending. And it's kind of like, you know, what's their game?
Well, okay, so couple of things that occur to me immediately. Generally speaking, what we notice most as patterns in the people around us are things that we're doing that we haven't accepted in ourselves. It's shadow 101. It's not pretty, you know, but it's so consistent that it's always worth looking at. In what areas of your life are you being dishonest? Are you presenting yourself one way when you're really another?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm pretty straightforward.
Okay. So it's possible that you're right. And obviously, I mean, I'm not going to catch you out here.
Right.
I just would strongly suggest you have another look, because when that comes up as a pattern, very often it's a reflective pattern. Now, the second thing, you know, once you've looked, and look, I'm not saying you are. I don't know.
Oh, I've already done that. I mean, that's kind of basic. Yeah.
So a second thing is to simply decide, what is the purpose of my being in relationship with this person?
Well, I never asked for the relationship. They keep on coming to me.
So you kind of walk down the street and these congenital liars come up to you and go, hello.
I forget about them, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's like I run into the person and then again, but it's just very strange to me.
Why can't
say, hey, this is who I am.
Well,
you know,
okay,
they can't
but that's
just relax
a different, that's two different questions now.
Yeah.
Okay, one question, and I think we're beginning to get a little closer to the heart of this. One question is, how do I relate to them?
Right.
The other question that you've just asked, though, and you've asked a couple times now, is why do they do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Two completely different questions.
Okay.
You know, why do they do that? Generally speaking, because it makes them feel exceptional.
Okay.
It makes them feel special. They generally speaking don't believe that if they just presented themselves as they were, anyone would like them, talk to them, or be interested to them in them. So they do that. Sometimes it's habit. There's all sorts of other things that can be going on.
Okay.
The relevant question, since I'm on the phone with you, would be, how do you want to deal with them? How would you like to deal with it when you are with somebody and you recognize, wow, they're making stuff up?
I guess the thing is, I don't know how to, because I'm a very blunt person, and I don't know how to approach them in a way that will just kind of let them know that.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and go, why are you lying to me?
Yeah.
In other words, there's no reason not to be direct.
Right.
I mean, again, I'm not saying go up to complete strangers and go, you, liar boy, come over here. But do you know what I mean?
It's just a very awkward situation socially is what I'm saying. It's, I'm trying to, I guess, understand it, but I'm also trying to understand how to deal with it in a way that...
Sure, but the reason that you're struggling a bit is because you're trying to find the right answer.
Yeah.
And there isn't one. Okay. It really isn't a question of what is the correct way to deal with people who are being dishonest. The more useful question is, how would you like to deal with people when you recognize that they're being dishonest?
I guess I'm so busy trying to figure out why they're doing it.
Right, exactly. That is what you've done in the past.
Right.
But I'm saying, let's change that right now.
Okay.
So right now, and again, you can change your mind in a minute, but right now, how would you like to deal with the next person that you come across who you recognize as being dishonest with you?
Well, I'm kind of sarcastic, so.
Okay, so do you want to mock them mercilessly? I mean, I like that strategy. Well, beautiful. So here's the thing, Marvel. Try that.
Okay.
I mean, you know, this is the beauty of it. This is the fun of life. This is the dance of the game. This is the average day.
Yeah.
You know what? Some people are going to tell the truth. Some people are going to lie. Some people you're going to deal with elegantly. Some people not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that you can't continually improve, but it just means, you know, you'll do what you do. And so you may as well follow your inner sense of knowing, of desire, of play.
And just tell them to go away.
Sounds great to me. So, Marvella, go away, but please call back another time. Thanks very much for phoning in.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. We will be back with more of your calls. We're going to start up with Anthony in the UK after the break. Couple of things that I just want to let you know about, if you don't already know. I think if you listen to the station, you probably know that in Tampa on October 13th and October 14th, there's going to be a great, big, ginormous I Can Do It conference with a lot of your favorite Hay House authors, including me. You can find out more about that usually at ICanDoIt.com or also at HayHouseRadio.com. You'll probably find links for that. Just another quick thought as we come up to the break on the whole average approach. One of the things I found in my own life from applying this idea of instead of trying to be exceptional and do everything and achieve and go and 9 million things in one day, ha-ha, and just kind of have an average day, day after day after day, is that my fear was that that would be really boring. And the reality is it's really peaceful and gentle, and sometimes it's crazy, but most of the time it's straightforward. And in my experience, in the experience of the people I've worked with, you actually wind up getting much more done. It's a little bit of a tortoise and hare approach. You know, what you can do sustainably, what you can do with consistency, the average approach will tend to get you a lot further, a lot faster, in a lot better shape than trying to do things in an exceptional way. So again, we're going to continue talking about that. We're going to continue talking with you. And next up, we have Anthony and Rhonda and Natalie. If you want to try and get in the last segment, the number is to call 1-866-254-1579. From outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. We will be right back after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. If you want to learn more about the kinds of things that I talk about on the show, the place to visit is www.geniuscatalyst.com. And if you join the Solutions Cafe, you can get involved full-on with a year-long coaching program and all sorts of other resources on the site. If you want to work with me directly, I'm just going to mention this now because this probably won't be available within the next couple of days. But I, from time to time, a couple times a year, do a very small group course. There's just 5 people in the course. I announced this one on Monday. It was sold out on Wednesday. But I've got one more group that still has 3 places in it. And if you're interested in finding out about that, it's a bit of a long URL, but I'll just give it to you anyways. You go to geniuscatalyst.com/public/WOPCD.php. That's WOPCD.php. You can find out about it. And if you want to join me, as I say, at the moment, there's still 3 places left on that, though that'll probably be gone by the end of the week. So let's go back to the phones and let's go to Anthony in the UK. Anthony, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thanks for hanging out on hold.
That's okay. Basically, I think you've probably spoken about most of what I need. I've kind of been in the same job for a long, long time, and I'm getting a lot of pressure from people around me, and it just doesn't feel like I'm succeeding, and it is stressing me out, and I've got to a point where I've actually felt like I've lost a bit of motivation here because it's just got to me as much.
Well, so here's the thing, is in reality, 99 times out of 100, no one can really put pressure on you. In other words, they can attempt to motivate you by frightening you. And they can attempt to motivate you by threatening you. But any pressure that you feel is always the pressure you put on yourself to meet their expectations or to meet your own expectations. So the question, you know, is less, you know, what do you do about them than, you know, what are you afraid might happen if you stopped putting so much pressure on yourself?
It's the thing. If I succeed, will they want me to succeed more? Will I over? Because you were talking about over succeeding, wasn't you?
Yeah. So just if I was just going to ask you that right now, what if anything? You know, what are you concerned might happen if you just stop putting pressure on yourself?
I don't know. Probably might be able to get more done.
Well, and see, this is the beauty of allowing yourself to be average is you actually will wind up getting more done, because so much of our energy gets used up fighting ourselves. Years ago in the 50s, Lester Levinson came up with this thing that he called the scale of emotions. And Dr. David Dawkins, in his book Power versus Force, he takes that further. The Hickses in their Abraham work talk about scales of emotion. And essentially, when you're getting caught up in these internal struggles and anger and in fear and in trying to push yourself and then trying to push back, what winds up happening is all that energy that we normally would have free to deal with our lives is being used trying to deal with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself is to start cutting yourself infinite slack. And just now, again, I'm not saying this to everyone. If you're listening to this and you're somebody who, you know, is already not getting off the sofa, maybe for you, you want to put a little more pressure on yourself. But the fact is, that's not, you know, Anthony, that's not you.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give you an experiment. Okay. Here's what I would like you to do this week. I would like you, just for this week, you can go back to pressuring yourself next week, but just for this week, I would like you to use as your mantra, no pressure, no fear, no guilt. And anytime you notice yourself starting to go, oh my God, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do that, just repeat, no pressure, no fear, no guilt. Mm-hmm. And just see what happens. My prediction is you're going to feel better and you're going to get more done. Mm-hmm. If it turns out that I'm wrong, phone me back and laugh at me. But just give yourself that gift for a week. Worst case, you'll have a more relaxed week. Best case, you'll have a more relaxed week, and you'll be infinitely more productive. You up for that?
That sounds good.
All right. Thanks for phoning in, Anthony.
Thank you, Greg.
Okay. Let's go to Rhonda in Claremont. Rhonda, what can I do for you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I think what I struggle the most with is I have a very difficult time trusting myself and ultimately being able to hold any good thoughts about myself. So whenever I do try to move forward, I just seem to immediately stop myself, not being able to believe that I can really go forward in any good way.
Okay, so let me ask you the first very strange question.
Okay.
Are you trustworthy?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So you tell yourself the truth.
Yes, I think I do. And that's the kind of the other kind of strange thing about it is when I do stop for a moment and really try to honestly kind of look at myself the best I can and be truthful with myself about myself, I really think I am a good person. And so I don't really get why I'm constantly, like, say if I'm trying to do some affirmations or something like that, I will say the affirmation, but then instantly I will hear myself just immediately go, no, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. That's never going to happen to you. You're never going to have that kind of a good life. You know, so I'm constantly just slamming the lid down on myself.
So here's what's great, and this is for me the great gift of affirmations, isn't making yourself believe them. It's digging up all the crap that's holding you back. That's what it's absolutely, you know, people think that's the problem with affirmations and why they sometimes don't work for them is because it brings up this stuff. No, that's the point of the affirmation.
Okay.
Is to dig up what's in there. So obviously at some level, you believe that you can't do stuff. Is there something specific just so we get out of the abstract a little bit?
Well, actually, you know, it just seems to come up with almost anything. It doesn't matter how big or how small. If I'm going to attempt it, that's the first thing that comes up is I can't do that.
Okay.
Always. That's always.
Right. But what's one specific thing that you'd like to do that you think you can't do?
Go out and get a job.
Okay. Great. So do you believe, just right here, right now, and it's okay, either answer is okay, do you believe that you could go out and get a job in the next month?
You know, I really don't know. I'm very fearful of that.
Okay, so great. So now notice, though, I don't know is a very different answer to yes or no.
Okay.
And it's an honest answer.
Okay.
You don't know. That's fair.
Okay.
So given that you don't know, would you be willing to take some action and find out how easily you could get a job this month, knowing that, you know, worst case is you don't?
Yes, I would.
Okay,
I would.
Great. So, and again, so then the question just is, what is something you could do in the next couple of days to move towards looking for a job?
I could go out and fill out some applications.
Great. So would you be willing to do that in the next few days?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I hate to say it's that simple, but it really is that simple. Again, this is the difference between the average approach and the exceptional approach. The exceptional approach would go, no, I have to clean out all these negative beliefs, and I have to fill myself with positive beliefs, and I have to think perfectly, and I have to do all this, and then I can go out and effortlessly in one try, I'm going to go to the perfect job, and they're going to give me the job, and ha-ha!
Right.
Again, I'm not saying that never happens, but it's the exception. Okay? When average people want a job, they go out and apply for them. And usually, after a number of interviews, if they have some skills that are relevant to the marketplace, they get one. And that's the approach. Now, again, this isn't to say, when I talk about this, well, that's all I can expect from someone like me. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a start.
Okay.
And that's all you have to do is start. So it sounds like you're ready to start?
Okay.
Fantastic. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thanks for your time.
Okay. So we are going to, let's see, I think I can squeeze in one more. Let me squeeze Natalie. Consider yourself squeezed in San Diego. Welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Good to talk with you.
Thank you.
I want to find a way to feel better with my own natural tendencies. I've had other counseling since I'm a rescuer, and I recognize now that I do tend to apply my skills and abilities and my finances to help others. Because basically I'm very good at my own life, I believe.
Okay.
But so, sometimes I get in a situation where I'm like stretching my finances and my emotional tolerances.
Okay. So the question is, why would you do that? I'm not saying you shouldn't even, but why would you put yourself in that situation?
Because I enjoy it.
Oh, okay.
I feel good, you know, giving my skills to people.
Right. So the question is, from what you're describing to me and the sound of your voice as you're describing it, you don't enjoy it. You enjoy it when you can do it within your range of comfort, within
right.
your range of average.
Right. But if I feel successful.
Right. But
yeah.
when you stretch yourself too far out of that zone,
right.
you don't enjoy it.
Probably so, yeah.
Okay. So are you willing to stop doing what you don't enjoy doing?
Well, I believe I've done that. The thing is, I'm the one at risk.
Okay.
When I do that.
So in what way, maybe I'm not understanding, in what way are you at risk by deciding not to overextend yourself emotionally and financially?
Well, okay. You're right. What I get is I get negative feedback from the people.
Well, of course right. you do. That's how they've learned to manipulate you and everyone around them into overextending themselves to get what they want. I mean,
but
that's what
I also believing in the potential of other people.
But that's a beautiful thing, Natalie. That's
right.
Believing in their potential and giving them all your money is two very different things. One of them is genuinely supportive. One of them is just kind of silly.
I've done both.
Yeah, and look, so have I, okay? I have no high horse, I have a very low horse, you know, but all I'm saying is that when you stop looking at it as some major character flaw or universal punishment and look at it as pretty straightforward,
right.
you know, there's a range within which you really enjoy being of service to people, and you've had a tendency in the past to overextend that, and so now you're going to keep an eye on that, and when you notice yourself starting to feel uncomfortable and starting to feel off balance, you're going to pull back and you're going to tune in and you're going to go, okay, let me get back to my center. Let me go back to my peace. I'll continue to believe in this person,
okay.
but it's time to stop saving them. And again, the exceptionality piece is the idea that you can save them. Okay? It's a completely different thing to just go, wow, I'd love to be of assistance in your life.
Right.
I'd love to be of service to you. I'd love to help in any way that I can, but not to the point where, you know, I become lost in the process. Does that make sense?
Well, I think I'm on the edge. It might be an extreme edge, but I, when I started the process, I was willing to go to that extent.
Okay. And are you willing to explore helping people in a slightly more average way? In other words, continuing to make a difference, but being willing to just make the difference that's in front of you, not make the extraordinary difference that changes everything forever.
Yeah, I think I talked to Joe or somebody. I said, I think I've been doing exceptional things, and now I want to have an average outcome.
Well, and that's the thing is look, the difference that you make doesn't have to be huge to be profound in its impact. And in a way, that's sort of the ultimate goal of all of this is just, you know, being an average happy person, make a bit of a positive difference in other people's lives, and have happy average days. That's a really, really wonderful way to go through life. And you'll find that in the end, in the final analysis, you'll have touched more people's lives than you can imagine in deeper ways than you've ever considered.
Well, thank you, Michael, because I always consider myself kind of in the middle. I don't get extremely depressed, and I don't get extremely happy.
Carry that forward, and just know that if you're willing to put in an average amount of work, you can also become happier and happier as you move forward. Natalie, I've got to run. Thank you so much for being with us.
All right.
Thank you for being with us today. Next week, very excited, Dr. Richard Bandler, he's the co-creator of Neuro-Linguistic Programming, NLP, my field, is joining me on the show. We're going to talk about the magic of NLP. We're going to take calls. Get in early. It's very difficult to get a chance to actually speak to Dr. Bandler. So if you want to get in on the show next week, start calling right at the top of the show, and we will get as many of you on air with Dr. Bandler as we can. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, have an average day, and I'll speak with you next time.